live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Hurricane Milton could come ashore today in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, which has a population of more than 3.3 million people. After weakening slightly, Milton regained strength on Tuesday afternoon to become a Category 5 storm with winds of 165 miles per hour. Conservative MPs will vote this afternoon to reduce the number of candidates in the party's leadership contest from 3 to 2. In the final ballots, MPs are choosing between Kemi Badenoch, Robert Jenrick and James Cleverly. A record 9.3 million people, including 1 in 5 children, are facing hunger and hardship in the UK. Thomas Weeks, a senior research manager at Trussell, explains the impact of this.
I volunteer at a food bank, and the number of people who are having to turn to food banks, but also even just get cold food packs because they can't afford to actually turn the heating on, turn the electricity on to cook their food, is just horrendous.
And Joe Root has become England's all-time record run scorer in Test cricket. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Grace McIntosh.
Tesco Finest hog roast joint with golden crackling. Served in a soft bap or savoured for Sunday roast. However you go, the whole hog. Only the finest joints of British pork are selected for our succulent hog roast. With deliciously crispy crackling. Make your everyday taste better with Tesco Finest. Selected larger stores excludes Northern Ireland.
Coming up, the Business Mix Show.
I never thought of myself as the giving type, but I guess I am. I give my elderly neighbour's dog a walk every night, despite its barking being my alarm clock every morning. And I give blood when I can, because it helps combat cancer. It takes an hour and saves lives, like my mum's, who was here long enough to see her grandson take his first steps.
Kaya!
Coming! And she's still here. If you're the giving type, join the thousands of us giving blood every day. Book now at blood.co.uk.
Yes! I just can't believe it.
This time tomorrow, you could be a millionaire. Get your lotto ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colorful.com and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very good evening to you wherever you may be. Welcome to the Business Mix. My name is Chrissy.
And I am Rachel. And as always, welcome to the Business Mix show on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things black business. Oh, gosh, I think UK business, but actually we go international sometimes. So
we are international, baby. We are international.
So, it being the start the first week of, Black History Month, it's a busy month for us. This is when we get called out to, can you come and talk about this? Or can you make this? Or, But as always, it's Black History Life forever. It's eternal. We don't just celebrate for a month. We live it day in, day out. We will take these opportunities as they present themselves to us. Next week is also the UK Black Business Show.
Yay!
We have a whole week beforehand as well of lots of events that's going on. So if you haven't got your tickets, definitely have a look. UK BBS, I think it's .co.uk. But if you just put in UK Black Business Show,
it will come up.
Google will do the rest and bring up the details for tickets for you. Anything else? Am I missing?
Yeah, is it menopause? I'm sure it's Menopause Awareness Month as well.
Oh, really?
It is indeed. So, yes. If you're at a workplace or you have a business, and what are you doing to kind of embrace menopause and making allowances for women at work? We would love to hear from you what you do about that. But, yes, it is Menopause Awareness Month.
And so, also, the 10th of this month. 10th of October, as always, is World Mental Health Day.
Yes.
So we will be encouraging all of our entrepreneurs to be looking after your mental health. And again, it's not just for one day. It's not just for a month. It's actually for forever, for a lifetime. I will just try and see, what the theme is. Because, each year they have a different
theme.
Yeah, let's have a look. It's time to prioritize mental health in the workplace. Ta-da!
Workplace.
Ta-da-da. Workplace mental health. And again, there's just really, I'm sure actually we may have a show on this, but I'm sure there are just little things that you can do to support your employees, whether you've got one or 1,000 employees. There's a lot of wealth of resources, hints and tips out there. Mind are amazing. And there's even Mental Health at Work who will help as well. So
it's a busy month all round.
It is a busy month. We're not even Christmas yet and it's already
busy. I know. It's a busy, busy, busy one. But Rachel, today's a busy one. So who have we got on the show this week?
Yeah, we're really excited, pleased, proud. I want to say it's been a few months, probably been a few years, like we've kind of been following this. And we're really, really excited to have with us Sharon McLean, who is the founder of Business with Excellence. I don't want to go too much into her bio because I'd love her to speak for herself. But let's just say, not only a business coach, a counsellor, a teacher, author, there's many, many hats. And hopefully we will get to hear more about the different hats that she wears. So welcome to the show, Sharon.
Welcome, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Rachel. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I guess, yeah, leading into that, because I didn't want to take away the shine from you telling us all about what you do. Can you give the listeners a bit of an introduction to yourself, perhaps a bit about your organisation, a bit about Business with Excellence? We're going to talk about your book, so don't say too much about that, but what it is that you do and how you support individuals in the community.
Yeah, so as you've heard, my name's Sharon McLean and my business is Business with Excellence. So I'm a business mentor, I'm a coach, I'm a counsellor, supervisor of counsellors, I train, I teach, I lecture, and I author also. I'm an author of two books. I love to share information with others. Yeah, so I've done a lot of training within communities, within individual businesses. Started in 2002, so I've been going 22 years. And my motto basically is love what you do and do what you love. And that's what I'm doing.
Amazing. So how did the business start? How did you, I mean, what was the brainchild behind it? What were you doing? What was the inspiration behind Business with Excellence?
So the brainchild behind Business with Excellence, I call it a progressive business. So my background is in business. So I at uni, I studied business and I've always loved business. My parents, for example, they would buy and sell property. That wasn't their main business, but that was their income that they would help us through college, university, you know, for funding. So after I finished my degree, I went and worked in the corporate world. I worked in marketing and I also studied finance as well. And I like the both. I like the finance and the marketing. So what happened was I had my son, who's now 28. And I was off work with him for a year. And while I was off work with him, I started just doing little things to make money. So I started doing things like Avon and selling jewellery, just working around the family. And then I went back to work full time and I thought, I don't want to be paying nursery fees with all my income. So I need to look at something else. And then I started meeting women just like me who were having children, who were in high-end professional jobs, but didn't want to go back to work. And in those days, there was no such thing as flexible working. You had to work Monday to Friday and there was no job share. So I thought to myself, if there's people like me in this situation, I've got the skills and the talent, why not start a business? So this is as simple as I did it. I went to the bank, opened an account, put £100 in my bank account and started running seminars every Saturday. And they were finance and budgeting seminars. I'd hire out community halls. I'd charge people £20 and I would go through their finance and budgeting, you know, what they've got coming in, what they've got going out, what they need to spend money on. And the majority of people on the course said, I want to do something for myself. So I said, let's look at how we can do that. What are your gifts and talents? And because my background is in business, the first training after that I introduced was a business startup course. So I went through all the five areas of how you start a business, which is your idea, the marketing, the finance, how to operate, who are the people that you need. And I kept on a basic level, and I encouraged them just to start writing down their thoughts and ideas. And then I thought, it's good for them to write their ideas, but I want to see this in action. So that's how I started doing events. So the first 5 to 10 years of my business, literally twice a month, I would just hire out community centres, hire out halls, and put on business networking events where I'd get speakers to come in. I would speak. I would do partnerships with the local banks where they would pay the money to me because they wanted customers to set up bank accounts. And I would have these businesses portraying all their products and services. I would say to them, invite your family and friends, people from the community. And that way their business grew. So for every service that I've provided in my business, it's been a result of what the people needed. So then after doing the events, they said, you know, this is great, but we want to go a little bit further. We want to deal with other people. So that's when I set up something called a consortium, where I got all the different business owners to join together in groups of 2 or 3s, where they could go and maybe tender for contracts in terms of their area's speciality, so they could offer much more of a bigger service. So some of them who were running sort of part-time businesses on the side, just getting a little bit of income, they used it to actually use as their main income. And my first client who did that was a lady who set up a medical agency. So she was running it from her house, where she was employing people, you know, to do care jobs and things like that. And then she built up enough income to actually buy a property to then house people who had disabilities. And then the council were funding her to actually run that business. So it grew from there, and I absolutely love it. First of all, I met people like myself, so people of my culture, and I was supporting them. And then it just branched out to anyone who wanted to start a business, whether that was male, female. I've worked with young people. I've worked with people who have learning needs. So I wrote a specific program for carers who don't have the exact amount of time in the day to run their business on a full-time basis, but I wrote a bespoke program for them so that they were able to connect with others, so that they could run their business in the available hours that they have within a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Literally, it just kind of, I mean, I guess most of the, they do say that most of the best entrepreneurs, their businesses are born out of a problem that they're sometimes for themselves, sometimes yes. for people, and you manage to fuse the two and do both. So
And one thing I would say, back then, it's really lovely to see now. There's so many vast array of different types of businesses, but back then, sadly to say, the business advisors were white men in suits at Barclays Bank. So there was no one, the women couldn't relate because they couldn't go for those meetings. So I would make sure I put on user-friendly drop-ins where they could bring their children and talk about their business at the same time. I wouldn't do it within working hours. I'd do either early evenings that they could come if they needed a babysitter, or early Saturday morning where they could pop out for an hour. So it was very specific to the needs of the groups of people that I was working with.
And I think I think that kind of lends to, because we didn't actually introduce the topic of today, which is we're going to be talking about your cultural competence model. And I think that kind of lends itself to that, like you said, actually, you could, once you can understand the needs of those who you're trying to serve, it's very easy to, or it's easier, not very easy, but it's easier to kind of put yourself in their shoes and think, actually, how would they best interact with this service, rather than, well, you know that thing, we've always done it this way, this is just just how we do it. Actually, as you said, times change. Back then there was no working from home or flexible working, leaving at 3:30 to pick the children up.
You
just did 9 to 5, because everyone did 9 to 5. So it's interesting to see how the culture shifts over the years actually makes a can make a difference, and then maybe thinks, how much further is the culture shift going to be in kind of years to come? But hopefully we can dive into that a little bit deeper a bit later on. Sorry, Chrissy, were you going to ask the question?
No, I wasn't going to ask a question. I was just going to say, you know, I think at that period of time, I think many people were intimidated about seeing business advisors, especially in the bank. As you said, the typical person was a white male who didn't understand the community, didn't kind of understand what you wanted to do. And I guess we've seen a massive change in that, and we've seen variations of business advisors that are out in the community trying to understand what needs are and look like us, which makes a whole lot of difference. And that, I guess, the intimidation part of approaching someone disappears with that when you find comfort in someone like yourself, I guess. So yeah, definitely. But you were talking so positively about your journey so far. Were there any challenges kind of that you faced during that journey, and kind of how did you work through all those things?
Yeah, so I faced a lot of challenges at the beginning. One was financial challenges, because obviously when you're setting up a business, in terms of the finances, but I realised I had to connect with others. So at the beginning, I wanted to work a lot with the council, but obviously they didn't know me. So who's this woman that's just turned up? So I would put my, you know, bid forward and everything. And as a result, they said they're willing to give me a go, but as long as I partnered with other organisations. So the other organisations I partnered with, sadly, they took the contracts. So as a result of me putting the work in and saying what my part would be in the contract, they were awarded the contract, because obviously at that time I didn't have the experience, I didn't have all my policies in place. They wanted things like environmental policies, health and safety policies, and I was just starting out as a sole trader at the time, so I hadn't built up all those things. So the idea of I would be the one that would do the training, I had the skills to do the training, but I didn't have all the systems in place, and that was a challenge, and that happened on numerous occasions. So what I turned that challenge around, and I said, you know what, I'm going to put on my own thing. So I decided to put on my own award ceremony, because at the time they were doing award ceremony in the local borough. But I said, I'm going to put on my own small business awards. And all the businesses that I had trained for a year, I said, I'd like you to come along and I'd like to acknowledge you. And I went to one particular guy, he was a black guy, and I said, will you support me with this? I want 50 people to come to this hall. And he turned around and he goes, you're brave, because he didn't think it would happen. Well, that first event had 100 people and 20 businesses. And the way I did it, I said, I'm a very good communicator. I'll use what I got, and I use my phone. And I text all the people in my phone who had businesses. I invited them along and I told them to invite two or three of their colleagues or friends who would benefit. Obviously, my strength is in speaking, so I made sure I had a right topic for them. Nice ambience, music, everything was culturally relevant to the people group that were coming, and they had a really good time. And as a result, I was able to host small business awards. Now you have the big business awards, but they all appreciated it because it was culture specific and it was geographically specific based on the relationship I'd built. And it wasn't getting an award like you've made X amount of pounds. It was just appreciating the fact that you had started in business and you're still going. And I'm pleased to say the majority of those people that had those all 20 odd years ago, they are still either running their businesses or they've developed in another arena. So that just goes to show the longevity of when you start something, you're passionate about it, how it can stay as you expand to the needs of the people around you. So yeah, that was really challenging. And then I've had people come to my events and then they get the information about my events, and then they go and copy the event somewhere else. And at first I thought, this is really upsetting. But then the other way I looked at it is, you know, if they've been encouraged by that, go ahead, because no one will ever be you. So even if they try and take your model or your way of doing things, they are not you as an individual. And that's why I say to my clients now, whatever you have to offer, make sure it's unique, specific to a specific group of people, and you're bringing your whole authentic self into it. Or if you can't bring yourself into it, if it's like a product, you're making sure that whatever you offer, there is a need and a demand for that product.
Yeah, and I think that kind of courage and tenacity and that, I guess, stubborn spirit that says, well, I'm going to do it anyway, despite what it might look like on the surface or despite what the naysayers have said, actually, I've, like you said, I've got the passion and the drive and I want to see this thing come to fruition.
Yeah.
although sometimes that can be very difficult, as we know, like running your business is a lot of up and down. There'll be days when you're like, yeah, I'm on top of the world, I'm winning everything, and other days I'm just like, oh, I just want to give this a break. I want to give it up. But I think, as you said, it's really important, even though, you know, you had people who perhaps, like you said, they've been in the game for years winning contracts and to counsel or whatever. And it's almost like, oh, you could look at them as they're in a position of more experience and knowledge or power over me. So maybe I should listen to what they're saying, and maybe I can. But actually, you know, you knew, you led with your heart, you kind of had a passion and you could see it. It's your vision.
Yeah.
You said it wasn't just, a whim. You had the networks, you've been doing the work for years, you knew the businesses. And I think what's really important is you've obviously built a relationship with the people that you'd invited. Because, you know, we get lots of cold call emails and text messages that come into our inbox day after day. You know, you're like, really, I don't really interact with them. I don't really know them. But once you actually got a personal relationship, and I always say this about business, in business, people, you buy from people.
You buy
how something makes you feel, not necessarily, oh, just that company. And so I think that's testament to, and it kind of just lends itself that actually, build a relationship with your clients, with your customers, with those who are spending their money with you, basically.
It's really important.
And then utilize your network. I think we had a discussion only last week, didn't we, about with our brothers in crime, Ace of Jacks, but about utilizing networks. You have it all there. It's on your phone, on your emails, wherever it may be. Utilize it to the best of your ability. And that's what you did. You know, you wanted to do something, as Rachel was saying, you went for it, but you used the people who you knew, and hopefully you gave them a great service, otherwise they would have attended. But you got the outcome you required. So definitely.
So I want to talk about books now. So I think this was how Chrissy and I actually first heard of you. I don't know if it was, I can't remember how long ago it was. I don't know if it was 2015, but is that... That
feels like forever ago. Absolutely forever ago.
So Business Pearls, which is a great book. It's entitled, kind of sort of subtitled, 42 Quotes and Memoirs to Keep You Going and Growing in Business. But I would also say, but that's, you could, it's actually applicable to lifestyle as well. Yeah, a lot of the quotes, you're like, actually, I can apply this to a business. But even if you haven't got a business or you're just aspiring to start a business, the quotes are like really relatable and can kind of go in each, in any category, really. So I guess, can you share a bit more about that book? Like, why did you write the book? How did you even come about to write that book? And what was that whole process like for you for, like, you know, writing and publishing? Even selling the book.
I have to laugh because it was a big learning process. It was in my bones in terms of Business Pearls. What I wanted to do, because I was doing my seminars and training and doing the one-to-ones, and what I noticed, people were really engaged and felt enthusiastic. But then when I chased them up, say 3-4 weeks later, life got in the way and they hadn't done what they said they were going to do. Some of them did, but not everyone.
We know that feeling.
I thought, well, how can Sharon stay with them 24 hours a day? And I thought, one way to do this is for me to put my journey. So the 42 quotes, I call them business and life quotes, is my journey, 42 quotes I picked up from my journey in business. And the reason I chose 42, because I wrote it at the age of 42. I chose the 42 quotes. And I looked back on my business and thought, what have I learned? And I've included in the book how pearls are formed. And basically, a lot of people say, oh, words don't hurt, but words have a lot of power. And if you take a pearl or one of the words and focus on them and then have an action point that you can act on, then you'll find that there will be an influence in your life. So when I wrote the book, I wrote it over a 6-month period. And you're going to laugh at this because I'm what you call a paper girl. So I grew up in the age when you write everything on paper. So I wrote everything out on paper, and then I got given a tablet to do my typing. So I typed all my notes on the book on my tablet, went to Jamaica, enjoying myself there, and said, when I come back, I'm going to, you know, get it published and get everything in order. Well, the button that I pressed while I was in Jamaica was the delete button.
Oh, no. Too much rum punch on the beach. That's that one. Oh my gosh.
The button was the delete button. And I thought, oh my gosh. And I felt like giving up. And I said, no, I've had a lovely holiday. I'm going to come back and rewrite this book. Yeah. So the good thing was, everything was in me, in my head. Oh, you've got the copy there.
See what a mess it is. This shows you I've been reading it.
Well,
so everything was in my head, but it was a learning experience for me because it made me put things down succinctly and also look at different groups of people. So if you see the book, you've got the quotes on one side, my story on the other side, and then an action point. And in terms of publishing the book, I wrote it all myself, got my family members to proofread it. I was adamant that I wanted to self-publish my first book. Wow. Because I wanted to share that journey with others, so it wasn't so daunting for people who wanted to write. And then obviously I've got friends who do graphic design, so I got my colleague who's really good at graphic design to, I told her my vision for the front of the book. I wanted to be having a picture of me thinking in a thinking mode when I was writing it, the pen of writing, and then the pearls coming down. So we did that, and then she put the book together and uploaded it onto Amazon for me. The lady that did it, she was a fantastic English teacher. I think she's now a counsellor. I'm not a counsellor that counsels people. She's a like MP counsellor now, and she supported me all the way with this book. So it was really nice, and she was in my network at the time. Doing her own business, and she had also written books, so it was really nice to collaborate together. So as a result of that, I've always been also able to mentor people to let them know that it's not a hard thing to write a book. The marketing and the selling was very, very easy because I had my network. I would just go around, take the book with me to events and give talks and then sell it. So what I would do, I'd run courses on Business Pearls, get people to come along, and then they would work through the book themselves. So if they were setting up their businesses, they would work through it. And then I would target different groups. I've done courses with young people with the book. I've done courses with carers. So I just target different groups of people. And even now, the book is still selling because it's a book that's very easy to read. You pick it up, put it down, you take a pearl, you think about it. One of my friends used to run a dyslexia company, and she said most of her clients found it very easy. They wouldn't normally read, just pick it up, read the quote, and then think about it, make their own notes, and then put it down. So that's what I like. I like things simple and practical. So that's my sort of hallmark when I either teach or when people are learning. I want it to be as simple as possible and practical so you can act on it.
Definitely. And that's why I enjoyed it, because I like plain English. I like straight to the point. I've got it in front of me, and one of the pearls, it's very simple, pearl 24. Whatever you practice, you become good at. Very simple. However, I think I must have been in a slum when I picked it up again, and I was like, right, I'm doing something and I still haven't grasped it. I'm not an expert at it. And this just hit me. And then I started going, right, I need to find some courses, whether it be free or whether I need to pay, but I need to become better at what I'm doing. And it was just this little drop. And I think I was going to work or something, and I had it in my bag. Very simple, very to the point. And it makes sense. Obviously, if you do something, you keep doing it, you become good, obviously. But I think sometimes when you're in a point of your business or whatever you're doing, you kind of stop. Or for me, I definitely did stop and stop practicing, stop being good at what I needed to be good at. So yes, that was just one of the gems that hit me. So it's not rocket science. It's just there.
Yeah, it's just there. And that's why, and I encourage people to use the quotes, you know, talk about them, discuss them, and then act on them. It's the action that's the most important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into the I guess the meat and bones of the interview today about the cultural competence model and your book number two, your second book, we wanted to find out a little bit more about you, a little bit in depth. So can you tell us one song that you either play on repeat or it's kind of like an all-time favorite? Maybe it's one that you listen to, like, you know, some people have songs they listen to first thing in the morning, every day, or a book that you just cannot put down at the moment, and why?
Yeah, well, I love music. I love to listen to music full stop. When I wake up in the morning, I like to listen to inspirational music, musical music without any words. So I love that. That just relaxes me. But because it's Black History Month and I do like reggae, Three Little Birds, Don't Worry About a Thing. I play that all the time. And say like I've had a tiring day and I just need a pick me up, that goes on and I start moving and it just gets me in the right frame of mind, because, you know, you can't do anything by worrying. And so, you know, sometimes you're panicking about this, that, and the other, and then the next day comes, and what you were worrying about yesterday, the day has passed. So I like to play that song, particularly if I've got a lot on my mind. I just love music, and that gets me going. In terms of books, there's lots of books I love to read, and again, I like to read practical. I like to read study books, but practical books, but. One book that I really, really like, it's just a lovely pocket-sized book. It was written about 10, 15 years ago. And it was by Daniel Priest, and it's called Key Persons of Influence. And that book really influenced me because it challenged me to be an influential person in my area of speciality. And one thing that I think is very influential when we're in business is how we use our voice and how we speak. And this will take you on to why I wrote the cultural competence book, but that it made me think, you have to, yes, you can have lots of gifts and talents, but what's really in your bones? And I didn't realize, and it was sadly after the George Floyd death that I realized that this was always in my bones. Even when I wrote Business Pearls, culture was still part of who I am.
Thank you. So the ABC cultural competence model, tell us about it. What is the center idea about it? Who is it for? And kind of, you know, you kind of spoke about it briefly. What inspired you to dive into this model?
Yeah. So as I said before, I've always loved culture. My culture is of Jamaican heritage. I was born in the UK. But I love my Jamaican culture, just the vibrancy, the colours, the food, the language, the country. So I love everything about Jamaica. If I could go and live there tomorrow, I would. But my family don't want to do it straight away. So it was sadly in 2020, we know George Floyd died and it woke the whole world up. And the reason it woke the whole world up, it's not that he was the first person to be killed under the police, but it was a fact that we were all on lockdown. So we all saw it. Technology's now changed. People had their mobile phones out. And what happened, one of my colleagues, obviously my background's in business and mentoring, but I'm also a qualified counsellor. So I help people within the community, individuals, couples and families work through issues, and I train in things like trauma and mental health. So it's interesting that you said mental health days coming up. So I also include that in my business, encourage business owners to take time out and have space for themselves. So as a result of that, one of my colleagues wrote to one of our counselling bodies and said, what is the counselling body doing about this? What's the response? Because we haven't heard anything. And then it made them realise that they hadn't. Yes, they keep hearing about inclusion and diversity, but they weren't actively doing anything. So over that period of time, I decided to write my story, and I wrote an article about how I see systemic racism in the counselling profession when I was studying all of the books we were given to read were written by white people. They were written by people from America. There was no diversity with culture. People came on the course that had different names and they were saying, call me David, call me Mark, when that wasn't their name. They were doing it purely for ease and simplicity. And I challenged them. And because I'm a person that I speak out, and what I encourage people to do is use your voice. You don't need permission to speak. You can speak at any time and share your story. So I thought the best way to do this is for me to put it in the form of a book. So I went on a journey and I wrote my own story of culture, of how it impacted me, what life was like for me growing up, what life was like for me working, what life was like for my parents when they first came to this country. And then I encouraged others to write their own story. And that helped people to understand where you're coming from, because some people didn't know. I was brought up in a predominantly white geographical area, went to school. But what I noticed, all my friends, because I shared my culture and they were of different cultures, they were very, very interested in my culture. And now I look back, I had to laugh, because most of my female friends had black boyfriends because they wanted to be involved in my culture, because I was promoting it so well. So in the book, there's lots of tips in terms of you starting with yourself as an individual, writing your own story. And then what I go on to do is acknowledge other things like quotes where people in workplaces, for example, if you're working in HR, how to look at culture in terms of the people that you're working with and the statement. So we have discussions about that. Then I bring culture into equality and diversity. So in terms of the different areas of the Equality and Diversity Act. So we're looking at how does culture impact age? How does culture impact women? So we go through all that. And then the model is a very simple model. It's called ABC. The A stands for acceptance, B is for belonging, and C is for commitment. So if you're using that model either in your workplace, how are you being accepting of people? How are you creating that sense of belonging? And the C is very important, because how are you staying committed? So we're not just using Black History Month as a tick box exercise to say, we invited a Black person to come and speak, and then that's the end of it. I want to see, what are you doing on a consistent basis to implement things? So as a result of all of this, in the counselling world, I set up a group with my colleague called the Ethnic Tapestry Forum. And now what we do, we hold boards to account to find out, what are they doing for culture and diversity on an ongoing basis? So things like representation, where we've seen that culture groups are not representing at board level, we've challenged them and said, if your user group is a varied amount of different cultures, why isn't that represented at board level? We want to see that. We also want to see the way you're doing things and not just westernized way, because there's other cultures. So we want to see experiential and not just academic routes, because a lot of westernized way of learning is, if you've got this qualification, then you've passed the test. But what about experiential learner who has learned by experience? So again, we need to be embodying the two, the experiential and the academic route for things, so that we're adapting to culture. We also need to listen to one another. So we also need to listen, and not just listen, but listen to understand. We need to also be mindful of people that we're either working with or sharing with as well. So that's the essence of the book. It's and the reason why I call it a workbook is because you can work from any part of the book. It's got interviews in terms of there's a letter called Dear White America that groups can use to discuss and see what feelings it invokes. So some of it is quite challenging. You can skip past certain chapters if you're not ready, and then you can do the chapters that you feel comfortable with. There's discussion words in there as well. So cultural humility, cultural appropriation. What does it mean? Some people I've done group work with, they've never heard of those words. So what that does, it opens them up to that discussion. And things like that. And then I get people to write their own cultural competency charter for themselves as an individual, for their business, and for their organization. And then at the end, in case you think, I don't know what questions to ask, I've got questions for individuals that you could ask someone, questions for counselors, questions for community organizations, and questions for businesses. So it's a book, again, that's very practical. You can put the model in front of people and just say, what would you do with this? And they can adapt it, add to it, take away from it, how they would use it specifically. And I do training also around that model as well.
Yes, I was going to ask actually. So what was the ABCs again? Acceptance?
Acceptance, belonging, and commitment.
And commitment. Acceptance, yeah. Belonging, and commitment. Right.
Yeah.
And so with that and kind of like bearing that in mind, is this the kind of book that, say, organisations can use, like, for like whole teams? Is it to be used individual or?
Yeah, so you I would start off, the questions that I start off, you have to look at yourself as an individual first, because if you're part of a team, you are an individual. So right. Five individuals are biased or ignorant to certain things, that's going to affect the team. So let's look at yourself first. And then once we look at ourselves, then we can look at how we can impact the team and how the team can impact the organisation.
Right, got it. And do you, as you said, you do kind of like, it's a what you can work through, it's a workbook, you can do sessions on it. So if someone's thinking, actually, yeah, I think my organisation or my company or people within my team would really, benefit from this, but perhaps don't feel comfortable bringing it to the team, kind of like starting it, is it something where you can help them with that? Do you do sessions around that as well?
So I do sessions around that, and also with the book, there's different parts of the book that you can take. So if you don't feel comfortable starting with a model, you can start with your story. Everyone likes to tell a story. So I've had coffee mornings, for example. I encourage community groups, have a coffee morning, bring people in your group together and just get them to tell their story. And I've put the headings so they can choose what headings they want to talk about. They might say my upbringing, my heritage, and then they'll tell their story. And what that does for the organisation, it gives them a better understanding of who's around them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
go on, Chrissy.
Okay. For me, it's like an extension of equality and diversity training, isn't it? But this seems to be more of the practical, you know, the commitment part of it. This is what you do. You've done the ED training. You've got the theory, I guess, but now this is the more practical side. And this is showing that you are committed to this cultural learning. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And you write your own statements as well. So you write your own acceptance statements, your own belonging statements, your commitment statements. And from that, you make your own charter. And I've got that all in the book for you to do. So it's work for you. It's work for the individual. It's not handed on a package. Yeah. I provide the template and you have to do the work according to how you see the need.
Yeah.
And that's where we learn. That's how we learn.
And there's a lot of, or there has been, actually, I liked what you said about let me see who's on your board, because that was something that I said, as you said, 2020 happened, we're all at home, we're on lockdown, George Floyd was murdered, like, as you said, in front of everybody, like nobody could say that they didn't know about it or hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got a lot of corporate businesses putting out these statement saying, you know, we recognize that perhaps our practices have not been quite equitable, or we stand for justice, which was lovely. But then I was like, yeah, so let me see who is on your board of directors then. Let's actually see, like, how committed are you to the words that you're saying, to the statements that you're saying? But through that, I guess there was a lot of education that kind of took place. A lot of information was available. And a new word to me anyway, not furlough, because that was another new word that came up, but allyship. I'd never heard of allyship before until 2020. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of other communities wanting to be allies to, you know, Black people, or, you know, yeah, we stand with Black Lives Matter. So is this the kind of, well, I guess, firstly, what do you think of allyship? Is it something that we should be kind of reaching out for or integrating more? And is this the kind of book who people think, actually, yeah, I do genuinely want to learn more about other people's culture and embed that into our business? I want to be an ally to perhaps people who are less represented than others.
Yeah, and the thing is, the individual has to be honest to answer that. They're willing to be committed. And to be honest, you can tell who's doing the tick box exercises, and you can tell who's in it for the long haul. And if you're in it for the long haul, you're going to go with the bumps, you're going to go with the upheaval, it's like learning. If you were going to learn to ride a bike, you start, you drop off, you pick it up, and then eventually you get there. So who's in it for the long haul? And that's a question that I would ask any organisation. Are you committed to this? I believe in something called lifelong learning. You're always learning for life. Yeah. I did my degree like in 1994, and then 25 years later, I did my master's. Most people will do their degree and then do their master's like 2 years later. But it was beautiful because I had all that experience, and then I went back into the classroom learning with all the experience I had, so I could relate more to what I was learning. It was much more of a fruitful and productive experience. So for organisations or for individuals, are you committed for the long haul? So that's a question that you need to be asking, whether they come up with any buzzwords like allyship or co-production. There's all sorts of words that are buzzing around at the moment, but are you committed for the long haul and for the benefit of both, not just using, but for the benefit of both, either organizations or jointly working together?
Okay. So for a change, I've been told I can only ask one question. I usually tell Rachel, no more questions, no more, we're done. But time is running out and we have to talk about your upcoming event. Please share more information about that, how people can get involved, get tickets, etc. Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's a free event. What I love to do for Black History Month is just give a free hour of my time. And if you want to come, it's on Monday, the 14th of October, 8 o'clock. It's an online part of my online book club that I offer. But we're going to be discussing reclaiming the narrative from a cultural competency aspect. So it's for people to come and share. I'll be doing a short presentation. It's just to empower and encourage people. So that's on Monday the 14th of October, online, 8 o'clock. And for those who want to come, just check out my website, businesswithexcellence.com, or on social media, I'm at Sharon BWE on X, or formerly known as Twitter, Sharon McLean LinkedIn, or Facebook, it is Business with Excellence Facebook page. So you can access that. And it's just a matter of sending me an email, and then I'll send you the Zoom link for the meeting. And the more discussions we have about this, the more empowered you are, then you can go off and do your own cultural competence in your area of specialism or your area of business.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Before we end, where can people get a hold of copies of your books?
So if you're at any local events, you can get copies there. Or if you want to go online on Amazon, just type in McLean's ABC Cultural Competence Model and it's there. And then also Business Pearls, and then type in my name, Sharon McLean, spell M-C-L-E-A-N. And you can get copies of the book there as well. But I'm always around doing tours and speaking engagement, so I carry the books with me as well.
Perfect. Oh, Sharon, it's been such a pleasure to have you on this week. It's been really lovely talking to you. And yes, buzzing with ideas, so it's great. Thank you again for your expertise, your wonderfulness. And yeah, thank you for joining us this week.
That's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I would just really encourage all listeners, if you've got any questions, queries, it could be things that you think, yeah, I really agree with that, or you're like, I need a bit more information on this, do reach out to Sharon. She, as she said, she's given kind of like her socials and her website. We'll also put that on our Instagram page as well. But yeah, do reach out and keep the conversation going, because that's one way that we do see change is, you know, having the conversations. It's good to talk, and you just never know who you're going to speak to or who's in the room with you. So I think that's it for this week.
It is for this week. Thank you again, guys. Thank you for joining us this week, and we hope to see you next week. Guess what?
Keep it colourful.
Keep it colourful.
The Business Mix Show. It's time to have a good time. Get yourself together, we're going out tonight. Put on that little dress I like.
start to stare. I hear them whispering your name.
I hear them calling down.
They're playing our favorite song. Let's take it to the floor. Let's show them how we get down.
Ball for the location. Helion, Helion.
We day up on the toll and
me did day up on the boat drive. No man day up on the toll. A couple of shit gonna give me deep. Seen a dem a mish dog, I know. We no cap dog, fully room force.
Girl just left the river, now she day up on the pole. K day a swap and stand, K day a fall. Look pa my shows, deep now have no insole. But I don't know the thing, you know the thing I want.
Out yeah, we fuck up any party. Bottle pan bottle and a couple shotty. Pan it all be my blast off quick. 180 too slow for me kick.
Killer them a front so them a escort we. Ma be na deep in my room Maserati. All feds a touch feds a say a what that pass we. Too fast for a chase Steve a tell them can't see.
Again, dog, so it easy. Girl, boss, so my foot could do cheesy. Skull send the money, feel sweet like sweetie. Twang like Caucasian, feel cheese quick. Girl, I pull up night villa. Mab day night be my. Be a killer day, so go villa with the chip. And it's 17, dog, and no spinners.
Signal low up on the toll, but we still a. Bang, bang, he line down, pull me sissina. So all of me day up on the toll is a miller. Reach to me, I call me dog, them a killer, think we easy. Blast off, get the place breezy. Ever yet see a car wheelie? Yeah, the cat tip on the front.
Like really.
Slow down, you are move too steady.
Seen a dem a mish dog, I know. We no cap dog, fully room force.
Girl just left the river, now she day up on the pole. K day a swap and stand, K day a fall. Look pa my shows, deep now have no insole. But I don't know the thing, you know the thing I want.
Me shout, yeah, we fuck up any party. Bottle pan bottle and a couple shotty. Pan it all be my blast off quick. 180 too slow for me kick.
Killer dem a front so dem a escort we. Ma be na deep in my room Maserati. All feds a touch feds a say a what that pass we. Too fast for a chase Steve a tell them can't see.
The Business Mix Show.
Futsang hegen lahle.